Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And next, we're brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SOBET.io/SGPN. And finally, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that allows you to sync your fantasy football league and bet on head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or just head on over to betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. And while you're downloading apps, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hand. Make sure to download it wherever it is you download apps.
Hi, yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jocks. Hello, hi. This would be episode 94. I'm going to dedicate this to UFC 94, which was the first UFC event ever that had two current title holders fight each other in the main event or in any part of the card. I'm going to quickly introduce my associate co-host Daniel Gumby Vreeland, so I can ask him who headlined UFC 94, Dan, on January 31st, 2009.
Well, if it's the first two champions, simultaneous champions, it's got to be GSP, BJ Penn, correct?
Correct.
Is that also the card with John Jones hitting the spinning elbow on Stephen Bonner then?
Correct.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's a good one there. Have you ever heard the interview with Stephen Bonner where he talks about getting hit with that elbow? First of all, he's been hit with a lot of shit. Like, you can clearly tell. Because he was in on all of that Diego Sanchez crazy coach stuff for a while, right? And so he's clearly been hit with some things, but he said when he got hit with that John Jones spinning elbow, he thought a fan had thrown a beer bottle from the stands and hit him in the back of the head because he couldn't figure out what possibly could have hit him there with a fighter in front of him, which is just fucking awesome.
Yep, that was the rise of John Jones. Also was the rise of the man in the co-main event, Lyoto Machida, KO'd Thiago Silva. I think that was his last fight before... Yeah, he was fighting
before the Machida era
era. Yes, which lasted a fight, perhaps a round of fight. So yes, there you go.
I think it technically lasted two fights, but the one shouldn't have actually gone his way.
No.
So yeah,
I was all in on the Machida era too. Disappointed.
I thought after that fight we were gonna have 700 karate experts in the UFC. Like I thought like UFC, like now after watching that fight, like 5 years later, would have just been like Wonder Boys in every division.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Do you remember what else this event was known for? The controversy was known for.
94. I can't say that I do.
It was the greasing incident where GSP was all, all greased up by Phil Nurse. Yes. Yes.
Phil Nurse. There's a throwback. Dude, he had the wildest corner. I think it was for that fight. Is it?
Yep.
Is that the one he had Phil Nurse, Greg Jackson, John Donaher, and
Faraz
Zahabi? Yeah. Yep. Like, what a freaking corner.
No kidding. And I'm looking at the card. No one is. Oh, we do have someone. There's two people technically still in the UFC. Oh, actually, John Jones, too. Never mind. Three people that are still fighting in the UFC that fought on this card 12 years ago. Dan, do you know who? Or 13 years ago?
Almost. Still in the UFC from 13.
Yeah. So Jones, obviously.
It's got to be Clay Guida, right?
Yep. Clay Guida. Who did he fight that night? He fought someone that night.
Never fought Matt Brown, right? Matt Brown.
He fought someone to a split decision victory.
Oh, it's Nate Diaz. He beat Nate Diaz.
There you go. Dan remembers all. Dan knows all.
I remember that one because that was probably like some of the birth of me wagering on MMA because I made a bunch of money on Clay Guida against some Nate Diaz fans.
Way back, you were a degenerate way back then, 12 years ago.
I was not old enough to, I mean, I definitely wasn't old enough to like actually wager, nor was it even close to being legal in the States. So I'm pretty sure this was like a friendly dorm room wager because I was in college at the time. But they were all like, yeah, no, Nate Diaz, great, you know, like, same thing with what Nate Diaz fans think now. Clay Guida can really fucking wrestle.
Yes, and you barely won. By the skin of your teeth, you won, but. This isn't a throwback retro episode, even though we do talk about VHS tapes a lot and things like that. This podcast is all about Jeff getting a friend. He has a friend now. I want to test our friendship though, Dan. Let's say we're at school together in class, and I'm really hungry, and you've got a pocket full of tater tots. Would you give me some of your tots, Dan?
I'm pretty sure I would give you some of my tots.
Because if you didn't, I would kick them and punch them and squish them, and you'd call me an idiot, right?
I think that is probably another one of the most genius moments of Napoleon. I think we can turn this into a Napoleon Dynamite.
Good.
Another genius moment, because not only is it funny that he has a pocket full of tater tots, it's so funny that kicking them just like notably ruins the tater tots and probably messes up his pocket. It's just a brilliant, brilliant piece of writing. More people should love Napoleon Dynamite.
We should have a spinoff, podcast all about Napoleon. We'll call it All About Napoleon, perhaps.
Do you think it would do well on a gambling network?
Maybe. I'm sure there's got to be crossover. Everyone get at us. Jeff Fox, writer, Gumby Vreeland.
Maybe we can get a new Slack channel going. Maybe the Napoleon Dynamite Slack channel.
But they did just start a new there's a movie channel on our SGPN Slack now, so maybe I'll see if we have any. But they're all talking about like serious movies and stuff, so I'm not sure if it would be.
Yeah, that's serious. Serious. It's seriously good.
It is seriously good, for sure. For sure. All right, we should get to work, right?
Yeah, we've got some actual stuff to talk. We have fights to talk about this week.
We have fights to talk about. We're not going to talk about the Winter Wonderland that's here once again. We got a lot of snow, actually, last night.
We've got a little bit here. We've got a little bit here. Yeah, like, I've got, like, a couple of spots where the snow stayed on the ground, mostly because I didn't leaf blow enough of my leaves off of my yard, so they're just chilling on top of the leaves, and then it's pretty much melted everywhere else.
Rich guy with a leaf blower. Hear that? Everybody, Dan, living large with a leaf blower. Probably because Dan uses WinBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds and get your very own lawn blower. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. What else can I tell you? Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WinBet has some brand new bonuses. Like new users can bet $1 and win $100 in any sport. Plus you can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WinBet if you make a deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WinBet will match it 200%. Example, you bet $100, they'll pay you $200. There you go. Max wager match is $750. they will match up to $1,500. And did your – I can't remember who you picked. You probably picked the Bulls again, and they
I took Memphis, and they lost by 32. Oh, yeah.
and John Morant got hurt that game, too, so you're bad luck.
Which is – I'm going to blame mostly that. I'm going to blame that Ja got hurt. Because if Ja doesn't get hurt in that game, it's an entirely different game. They probably don't lose by – they definitely don't lose by 32. But, yeah, I'm going to blame that one.
Okay. All right. What's your pick this time? You got one?
Yeah, I'm going to say so we're going to pick for Monday because obviously you're not going to get this before Sunday's afternoon. I think we've got like afternoon games here on Sunday. I'm going to take the Pacers over the Wolves. They don't have the line posted yet, but I'd even take a money line here because the Pacers, don't look now. We talked about whether or not they're good or not. They've gotten hot. They've won 3 out of 4, the only loss being to the Lakers in overtime, which includes a win over the Bulls that made me look dumb, where they beat the Bulls by 32. Meanwhile, Minnesota, they're winning a little bit here and there, but they're just scraping by. They got absolutely worked by the Hornets a couple nights ago. So, I think Indiana is here to stay. They're going to be the away team, so I'm guessing you're probably going to get a few points, which you could play, or just love the plus money on Domantas Sabonis getting in there and picking up a trustworthy double-double.
There you go, because Dan is not just an MMA reporter, journalist. I'll call you a journalist. That makes you sound more important.
I don't know if I like that. I don't think I sound writer. I use because that's
writer. He also writes, but he also writes. But MBA for the MMA for the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So there you go. Get on that with your WinBet promos that we just told you about because they have great promos, odds, and payouts. They're happening live right now over at WinBet. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds and every major sport, they have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit wynnbet.com. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. PropSwap always has the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a bet you like, but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets in PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right. You want to – last episode, number 93, Dan was telling us the top under-the-radar prospects in each UFC weight class. You want to rip through the rest of them now, Mr. Vreeland?
Let's kick off with that. That's a good way to get our feet wet, and then we can determine just how exciting Bellator 272 might be.
Yes. All right. Lightweight. I think we're at, correct?
Yeah, we are at lightweight. And this one
– who's your top under-the-radar lightweight fella?
This is so easy for me. When I was looking at the list, and there are some, if you go way down on the list, guys who are just recently signed and stuff like that. But, you know, I talked last time, there's some guys who are under the radar being just signed, have like, you know, 2-0 records or, you know, in the case of Muhammad Mokaev, 0-0 records in the UFC. But like, there are some guys just outside of the top 15 that I think already should be in the top 15, maybe even the top 10. And one of them for me is Mateusz Gamro. A Polish guy. Absolutely been on a tear. I think he lost a little bit of his luster when he came over to the UFC. They gave him like a late replacement type fighter, in Guram Kutataladze, who's like a really good Georgian prospect. He lost a split decision in that fight, to Kutataladze. And I think people were like, oh, this guy was supposed to be 17-0 coming over from Poland. Is he even really that good? And first of all, I thought he beat Kutataladze. I thought that fight should have been a no-brainer. I think he definitely won the fight. But like, even if that loss happens, he then rattles off back-to-back finishes of Scott Holtzman and Jeremy Stevens, who are incredible competitors, right? They're guys who have been in the UFC forever. And not only did he sub Jeremy Stevens, he made Jeremy Stevens look like he had never been in a UFC fight before. That fight took 65 seconds. He took him down with an ankle pick, moved right to side control, right to like a north-south Kimura lock, stuck it behind his back, and finished him. So, like, look, I think Gamro is going to be a top 10 or even a top 5 UFC-level fighter pretty soon. He's fighting Diego Fajeda next month in the last card of the year. who is a ranked guy, I think he's probably going to blow right through him, and we're going to see him, like, being ranked pretty soon. But, like, he's a name that people should be talking about a whole heck of a lot more because he's an Abu Dhabi qualifier. Like he is that high level of grappling, and he's a good striker, too.
Yep, grappling champ, double champ in KSW, who's lightweight champ and featherweight champ. 30 years old, so he's pretty much ready to go now, right?
Yeah, I think this
crank
is...
It up. I guess they have cranked it up already.
I think this is his best possible spot. And when he went to Abu Dhabi's, by the way, in 2019, he drew very bad luck. His first round fight was against Gary Tonin. So, like, I mean, the worst possible first round matchup you could get. But, like, he didn't look terrible fighting Gary Tonin. He lasted 7 minutes with him, and those are 10-minute rounds. So, like, he's a guy who has really solid grappling chops. And like you said, he's in the right part of his career to make a run right now.
And if they're giving him Diego Ferreira, formerly known as CDF, if they're giving to him already, then they agree that it's ready to crank things up for him then, I guess, right?
I think they know what they've got in Matthews Gamero. I think they realize how good he is. So, you know, I hope that that's what they're doing with him too.
All right, excellent, excellent. Welterweights, what you got?
So for welterweights, I'm going to go with one of those guys who we have only kind of seen already, and that person is Michael Morales. We saw him on the Contender Series. He's only 22 years old, and my God, was he fast and athletic, and he absolutely manhandled Nikolay Veretennikov. You know, like I was even in on Veretennikov to start, and I was like, man, this guy – looks like he's the real deal. I've seen him on the regional circuit. Looks like he can take people down. Not only did he not take Michael Morales down, Morales took him down a bunch of times. And largely, not even with super technical takedowns, with like body locks and pure strength and speed. This dude is 22 years old and like incredibly, incredibly athletic. He's also one of those dudes who has like an incredible reach. Like he is a guy who is, he's only 6 foot tall, but he's got a 79 inch reach, which means it's like, you know, we're talking about like almost a, what's that? 6 foot, that's 6 foot 5 inch reach or six foot seven inch reach. Excuse me.
Yeah. 6'7". Yep.
He's got a 6 foot 7 inch reach and it looks like he's got a 6 foot 7 inch reach. So like he's an incredible striker, super fast, crazy athletic. We watched him on the Contender Series just absolutely manhandle somebody, and they booked him for one of the first fight cards of the upcoming year. He's going to be fighting Trevin Giles, a guy who is a veteran, which, you know, like, granted, he hasn't had the greatest run right now, but, like, he's a veteran that I think they think, if he can get through Trevin Giles in his UFC debut, we're looking at, like, a 22-year-old star here. So I think the UFC knows what they've got with him, too.
And don't think that he is the dead murderer, Michael Morales, who was executed in 2006. Yeah, apparently there is, yes.
Did you rape, get that? Rape and did you just murder. Google that? Did you Google that on the...
I did.
That's terrible.
On the Google machine, yes, yes. All right, so Dan picked a newcomer to the UFC, so but this is good. Your two picks both have upcoming fights. So it should be fresh in our degen's minds when those fights roll around and it's time to bet. Plus, I'll know how what the tail or fade when fight night comes, whether you're on a hot streak or not. I'll know whether or not to act like it's my actual pick, and then I'm not just fading you or tailing you. All right, middleweights. Which now we're getting into the
big boy.
To get a little thin in the big boy classes, right? Yes.
Although I will. This one made me feel – this one was one I was not – I didn't have to press to find this one. I already had this guy's name on the back of my tongue anyway, and that's Dricus du Plessis from South Africa. He was supposed – speaking of having matchups coming up, he was supposed to fight in 2 weeks against Andre Muniz, who is – I don't know if he's still in the rankings, but he was in the rankings very recently. This is a guy who's already knocked out Trevin Giles and Marcus Perez. He's 2-0 in the UFC. He's 16-2 overall, and his only loss was a rematch to Roberto Soldic as the KSW champion. So, again, I'm picking another KSW champion, an EFC champion, two organizations I'm pretty high on. And Soldic is like, I mean, like, he's probably one of the best guys not in the UFC. He's won, like, he's won a ton of fights against high-level dudes out there. And
he's fighting soon, too.
He's fighting
Mehmed Khalidov.
Yeah, which is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, for him to become a double champ again. Or, because I think he's already the welterweight
champion. He's giving up the middleweight.
Yeah, and he's going to fight for the middleweight. So, like, a loss there is no shame. And he had won the previous one. Like, they rematched, went 1-1.
Yeah.
Since then, Duplessis, you know, 4-fight winning streak, 2-0 in the UFC, hits like a truck. You know, like, has, like, a very good K-1 kickboxing background that makes him really tough. Only 27 years old, which at middleweight is definitely one of the younger guys out there. Another guy who's got crazy reach considering how big he is. Like, he sets only 6'1 at middleweight, which is not huge, but he does have a 76-inch reach, which, you know, translates to 6'4", which, so he's definitely got a little bit of extra reach there. Again, that probably shows you how crazy Morales' reach is, right? Is that we're talking about this guy has good reach, a weight class up. But he's a great kickboxer, and I like what I see from him there. He hits really hard. That fight with Trevin Jones, Trevin Giles rather, made me feel really good about what he can do. So yeah, I'm all in on Duplessis.
And speaking about reach, normal humans, your reach is basically the same as your height. So, except not for freak athletes, like NBA players have like 7'7" reach and they're 6'9", stuff like that.
Have you seen the reach on that kid from Gonzaga who is their,
He's like Chet
Holmgren, yeah. So he's 7'2" with a 7'9" wingspan.
See, that's what I'm talking about, stuff like that. That's why I didn't make the NBA, because my reach is the same as my height. So I didn't. I'm just an average dude, Dan. That's the only reason. That's the only thing keeping me. And my hands are small. It's the only thing keeping me out of the NBA.
Could you call him a basketball at 6'6" or no?
Barely. Not really. Like, not enough to, like, to dunk. Like, I could dunk, obviously, but I couldn't palm it to, like, do fancy dunks or anything like that.
You had to go up and do the two-man guy? Yeah.
Yep. You know how it is, Dan, from your days dunking. You know how it is.
I did. I've thrown down twice in my life.
Nice.
Yeah, which at 6'3 is a little bit harder, but twice in my life. Nobody got the tape measure out and measured the hoop, but I got two in there.
that's true. Good point. All right, now we're getting into some scary territory, Dan. Light heavyweights.
Who could
possibly be under the radar in light heavyweights?
So I actually did find one here. It took me a second to flip through, but I went back to the Contender Series and what we saw in this last season. And Jelton Jr., also referred to as Jelton Almeida, depending on, you know, who you're talking to. Dude, he looked so good on the Contender Series. For those who don't remember, he fought Nasiruddin Nasiruddinov, which his name sounds as menacing as I kind of thought he was going in. I took Jelton Jr. at, like, plus money. I think we found him at, like, plus 170. This was one of our big hits of the Contender Series season. And, man, did he – I mean, like, he basically – the guy he was fighting came in and said that he was – the light heavyweight Khabib, and we literally just watched him get Khabibed for a whole fight by this Brazilian dude who not to mention, like, look good on the feet too. Like, he can stand and trade on the feet, but he also just looks like an absolute killer on the ground, holds people down, has a really, really, really good resume too. Like, he's got a win over Ednaldo Oliveira, who is in the UFC. He's got a whole bunch of fun submission wins against, like, top-level type guys. And they clearly like him as well because, once again, he's booked in early 2022 against Danilo Marquez, which, you know, for people who don't remember Marquez as well, he is coming off of a loss to Kennedy Zichuku, but this is a guy who was 2-0 in the UFC. He beat Mike Rodriguez, choked him out, beat Khabib Nurmagomedov. And he was really beating Kennedy Zichuku pretty badly, looking for his third straight win before he got caught and knocked out. So they clearly have a lot of faith in Jelton Jr. And what's interesting about this is they've matched him with another grappler just to see what he can do in a grappler-grappler fight. Again, I think it's a really favorable matchup for Almeida. I'm going to be looking for that line the minute it posts. But I'm also just going to have my eye on Jelton Jr. for a while because I think – the heavyweight division is one that, like, is kind of without really good grapplers, right? Like, can you think of somebody who's, like, The grappler?
You said heavyweight. Light heavyweight. You mean,
light
correct?
Heavyweight? Yeah, yeah. Light yeah. Heavyweight. Can you think of anybody who's like a light heavyweight grappler right now?
Like the champ?
Yeah, I mean, Glover Teixeira, right? Yeah, you're 100%.
Paul Craig?
Glover Teixeira and Paul Craig. And Paul Craig's not – I mean, I guess he's worked more on his top game. He was working way off of his back, right? Because he got – he's caught both the Russian fella that you really love and I'm not sold on off of his back, and he caught Jamal Hill off of his back. But, like, he's working on his top game. He got Shogun with his top game and stuff like that. So – but like, you know, ultimately there aren't a lot of grapplers in that division who make you feel really good. So like, I think there's a path for him there to make a quick run up the division. And he's only 30. That's a young light heavyweight.
Yeah. Yeah. But and he's got a lot of experience under his belt. So I think he is ready to roll basically.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier on about whoever I said earlier on about, I don't know. I don't remember, Dan. I said someone was ready to roll earlier, didn't I?
Oh,
I think
Matthews so. Gamrell.
Yes, yes, yes. He's ready to roll. Like,
I don't. I keep saying him like he's French. He's not French.
Or is he Gamrot? Yeah.
I think it's Gamrot.
Who is the – I'm trying to figure out who the – Rush. Oh, Magomed Ankalaev?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He got caught by Paul Craig with 1 second left, and he tapped out.
Yes. The Bear Jew. All right, heavyweights. Heavyweights, actually, like I said in the last episode, a few years ago, this would have been much harder to do, but I feel like it's much deeper than it was and younger than it was, or relatively speaking, younger for
yeah,
heavyweight at least.
It is younger, but I will tell you this. So I saw a bunch of younger names and I was like, yeah, I'm still not impressed with any of these guys.
Yeah.
So I went with Old Faithful. And if you've listened to me on this show talk about heavyweights and heavyweights I'm excited about, you've heard me say the name Alexander Romanov 8,000 yep. times. And I couldn't not pick him because, like, look, what is that dude doing not ranked still? Like, why is he not in the rankings? He's 4-0 with 3 finishes. The only guy he didn't finish was Juan Espino, a guy who was going into that fight undefeated. And yeah, like, you might not have liked how he looked in that fight. He looked like he gassed out. He brought a lot of doubt to people. But man, he choked a dude out one time with his forearm. Just put his forearm on some guy's carotid artery and watched him pass out in front of his eyes. And then stood up. It's one of the most savage things I've ever seen. And then he went out there and beat the hell out of Jared Bandera. I mean, he suplexed Roque Martinez like he was a ragdoll. And, like, Roque Martinez is a big dude. So, like, yeah, I'm just, like, constantly impressed with Alexander Romanov. I have no idea how he's not ranked yet. I have no idea why we're not booking him with, like, ranked dudes next. Like, he should be fighting somebody real legit sometime soon. Because, like, I mean, 4-0 at heavyweight is, like, a serious run. That used to get you a title shot a couple years ago.
Yep, no kidding. Yeah, the rankings they do on MMA-Manifesto.com, which I bang on about pretty much every episode. Performance rankings for heavyweights, he is based on performance, not on voting. He is 11th, so he's ranked in my rankings. I don't know why he isn't in a shallow weight class with impressive finishes. So doesn't really make sense at all, so.
And I can tell you that at least one panelist has him ranked in not at
50. See the type of people that are voting on the UFC rankings? Just saying.
Just the worst.
anyone that just missed the cut in any weight classes that you want to mention before we move on to some actual betting picks?
I mean, there was the hardest one of these for me to do was lightweight. There are so many lightweight fighters. And there are
a
so
buttload.
Many, yeah, there's like a buttload of Garricks that won't be true. There's like a buttload of lightweight fighters that I was really excited about. Like Yoel Alvarez, who we both hit on him beating Thiago Moises a few weeks ago. Like
yeah.
More people should
I
be talking
you might mention him, yeah.
Yeah, more people should be talking about him. Arman Sakurian in that division, although I think he's ranked now. More people should be talking about him. You know, he just had to pull out of a fight, but I really like Terrence McKinney. Terrence McKinney, yeah. You know, won in 7 seconds in his debut. He won 4 times this year in less than 2 combined minutes. More people should be talking about him. You know, I thought Guram Kutateladze had lost to Matrius Gamrot, but Guram Kutateladze is good too. That David Onama, who debuted and lost, he's 0-1, but like gave Mason Jones all he could handle. like, he's fun. Ignacio Bahamondes is fun in that division. Dude, that division is so freaking stacked. Yeah, like, just about anybody out of lightweight right now who's, like, 1-0, and hey, I mentioned a guy in there who's 0-1. Like, there are plenty of dudes in that division who could use a little bit more shine.
There you go. See, I threw that on him, and of course, Dan's got an answer for that cluster. So, but we'll see if he has some betting, actual stuff that can make you money this week after I tell you about a couple other of our sponsors, like Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the matchups. You can cash out for gift cards when your bets hit and even help raise money for charity along the way. They're a brand-new company looking to grow their early adopter community. They're a slick app, fun to use. One of the reasons we love using it is they also offer prop betting. Actually, Dan just wrote about this on sportsgamblingpodcast.com if you want to check that out. So if you're in a state that hasn't legalized gambling yet, you can get in some prop bets on Better Fantasy. Plus, they just added a very cool bonus that we didn't talk about last time. If you can get your entire league to join Better Fantasy, they'll give the league a $150 gift card to get a sick-ass trophy from trophysmack.com. Totally free to play. Download today on iPhone or Android. Check them out. BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR. Fantasy.com/SGPN. And make sure you also check out SoBet. Since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other players are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app and is purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who you can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Las Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody is in on the other side to accept. So let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io. SGPN, that's SOBET.io/SGPN, to join the revolution. And while I said SGPN, reminds me, our app, the SGPN app, is live in the App Store and Google Play. It gives you access to all our picks, our podcasts. You can get notifications whenever a new episode drops, all different sportsbook offers that we're giving you, all the fun stuff. Make sure you get the app, and if you can toss us app review, that would help us out greatly. SGPN, all right, for life. Let's make some money, Dan. So we're gonna pass on LFA 119 because there's no odds. Maybe there'll be odds by the time we record Wednesday. You may want to hit a couple. But we're going to go right into biggest promotion in the world. Actually, no. ONE FC is the biggest promotion in the world. But we'll talk about Bellator, shall we? It's the last event. It's actually the last, not just the last event of the year. They don't have any scheduled in 2022 yet, I don't think, unless you know something I don't know, Dan.
They're always really weird with scheduling the end of the year and like holidays and stuff like around holidays and stuff like that. Like they're like the worst at like promoting upcoming fights. Although the UFC does that a little bit too now. Like they technically have announced UFC 270, but like haven't really announced any of the other fights happening. So like, yeah, I'm not 100% sure on what they're doing, but I'm sure something'll pop up.
Something will pop up.
You've got to have another Cyborg Mercy killing at some point.
Exactly. Hey, I'll watch. Like I said, I'll watch no matter what.
I'm here for it. I'm not knocking it.
I think I'm here for this one, too, at least for the main event. We got Bellator 272, Pettis versus Horiguchi. It's got a very cool poster for it. It's December 3rd for the Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut, a place Dan has seen many a fight at, right?
I have seen, many a fight in Uncasville.
How is Uncasville? I've never been to Uncasville. Tell me about Uncasville, Dan.
So pretty much, Uncasville is a casino. as long as I'm being really honest, there isn't much of a town around Uncasville. It's Mohegan Sun's casino, and there is like a little kind of center of the town nearby, but it's mostly just a casino. So as far as the town, I guess if you like casinos, it's real nice.
the casino by our family cottage up here is all smoke shops and cannabis shops. Is it like that in Uncasville or not?
So I don't believe.
Probably not legal.
I don't know how that works. So first of all, I haven't been back to Uncasville since like the beginning of the pandemic because I was like, I'm not gonna go cover Bellator shows in the middle of the pandemic. It seems like a lot of protocol stuff to go through. I don't really want to deal with, you know, like being isolated for several days in order to cover it. So I haven't been back there. I don't believe it's legal in Connecticut, but I also don't know whether or not that matters because Uncasville is a Native American land. That's how they like get around most of the gambling stuff in Connecticut anyway. So like, I don't know if they've changed over since then. But I wouldn't be surprised if they have.
There you go. I just saying that in the wild west of the wild north of Canada, that's what it is up here. So, all right. Main event is a Bellator bantamweight championship fight. They call it the world championship, but come on, every promotion can't have the world championship in it. Sergio Pettis, current champ, versus Kyoji Horiguchi. Let me give you a quick breakdown. We'll start with the champ, who is surprisingly the underdog here, or maybe not so surprisingly. His nickname is SP, which I didn't realize, which is very lame because that's his initials. He's 21-5, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions, 3-0 in Bellator. He's won 4 straight fights. He was in the UFC previously where he's went 9-5. This is his first title defense, is it not? I believe he just won it, right?
I believe so, right? Like he just beat what's his face there, the Archuleta.
Yes,
for the title.
Yes, yeah, he just beat him for the title. Let me check here, May 7th. So yes, this will be his first title defense. Like I said, 9-5 in the UFC before all this. He used to fight at flyweight. He was the RFA champ, the NAFC champ. 3 years younger than Horiguchi. Got an inch of height, 3 inches of reach on him. You can get him, like I said, dog money +155. Horiguchi, formerly, do you know he was formerly the Supernova, and now he is the Typhoon? Did you know that, Dan?
Well, I didn't even know he was the Supernova.
You didn't? Oh, no. Dan, you're all about nicknames, though.
I actually am not sure I've ever heard anybody call him the Typhoon, either.
No,
it's
well,
Gooch.
Apparently,
it's the Gooch. That's
yeah,
it's true.
It's true. What can I tell you about the Gooch? 29-3, 15 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's 1-0 in Bellator, where he won the belt in his only Bellator fight, and then he had to relinquish it for injuries. He won his last fight via TKO. He's 14-1 over his last 15 fights. He was, or is, I think, the Ryzen champ. He also was the Shudo champ earlier in his career. He also was in the UFC where he went 7-1, and then they got rid of him. Or did he leave? I can't remember. I think he might have left. Do you remember?
I think he was part of the big flyweight purge.
Was he?
But okay. I think what happened was his contract expired and they just didn't renew him.
Yeah, which is silly. He used to be a flyweight also, so.
Yeah,
-195.
I honestly believe he'd be the flyweight champ right now if he didn't leave.
Yeah. Oh, so maybe we know who Dan's picking here. -195. You like the Gooch, Dan?
I think he is one of the best fighters in the world. I continuously I would take him in a fight with Brandon Moreno tomorrow.
He beat him already, did you not?
Did he beat Brandon Moreno?
I was looking up someone yesterday when I was doing research, and he had beaten, or maybe it was Sergio Pettis that beat Brandon Moreno.
It was Sergio Pettis.
Yeah. Okay.
But that was also a different Brandon Moreno, regardless, right? Yes, Brandon Moreno lost in the Ultimate Fighter House to Alexandre Pantoja, and I don't think he loses that fight again. I think Kyoji Horiguchi would beat Brandon Moreno right now, and I also think he would give one of the better fights to Piotr Jan, at bantamweight. I think this dude is absolutely positively one of the best out there. You got to see him beat Darian Caldwell multiple times. You got to see him, you know, absolutely blast Ian McCall on the feet. He beat Manel Kopp and made him look like he didn't know what he was doing. Like, he's incredible. He can grapple. He can strike. He's got that karate style that works for him. Like, there's so many things he can do. And for me, not that Sergio Pettis isn't good, but, Sergio Pettis, I mostly see as, he has some of the striking tendencies of his brother and, not enough of that defensive grappling that, made Anthony Pettis dangerous to take down, right? Anthony Pettis won his title off of his back and defended it once off of his back. So, like, I think he's got enough of the striking that makes him fun, like his brother, but not enough of the defensive grappling. And I think that's where Gooch can probably take over here. I think he probably takes him down, beats him up on the ground. Wouldn't be surprised to see a head and arm choke. You know, you quoted, you said negative 190 is what we're looking at for Gooch.
Yeah,
right,
195.
Now. Yeah, I think that line is great. I think Kyodra Horiguchi is extremely playable at negative 195. I think he should, without a doubt, beat Sergio Pettis here.
There you go. Very confident right out of the gates with Gumby. All right, let's move to the co-main event. Featherweights, Emmanuel Sanchez, Jeremy Kennedy. What can I tell you? Jeremy Kennedy, let's start with him. Nickname JBC or The Bandit, which I prefer The Bandit.
The Bandit.
The Bandit. You're up on all the nicknames. These seem like they're coming as a surprise to you, Dan.
Well, I just know in the UFC it was always JBC.
Right. Which a bandit I found somewhere.
Do you know what JBC is, by the way?
No.
It's Jeremy from British Columbia.
Oh, how lame is that? Canada, do better.
It's not a good nickname.
Do better, Canada. The Bandit is much better. All right. What can I tell you about The Bandit? 16-3 with one no contest. 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He is Canadian, as Dan mentioned. I forgot to mark that down, but that's an important thing to mention here. 1-1 in Bellator. He lost his last fight. Over his last 5, he's 3-1 with 1 no contest. He was in the UFC where he went 3-1. Why is he not in the UFC anymore if he went 3-1? I don't remember what happened with him.
I think he was a guy who fought out his contract at 3-0. Do you happen to know he got his fourth fight? So he was 3-0 when he had one fight left on his contract. He fought it out to see what would happen. He got knocked out in his fourth fight. Do you know who it was against?
Oh, let me think. I'm not looking it up at all. Alexander Volkanovski by TKO punches and elbows on February 11th, 2018 at UFC 221, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, off the top of my head. I knew it.
Definitely weren't looking it up. But that was Volkanovski's, like, fourth fight in the UFC. They were both 3-0. Yep. He decided to fight it out and, like, obviously, Volkanovski's going to blast him. It wound up being, like, a terrible matchup for a dude who was trying to fight out his contract. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened, if I remember correctly. But, I'm not 100% sold on that.
Sounds like it might have been done on purpose, Dan. You think it might have given that matchup on purpose?
Never happened before.
No. Anyhow, he was in PFL where he went 2-1 with one no contest. He was the BFL champ. He used to fight at lightweight. This one is down at featherweight. He's 2 years younger than Sanchez, 2 inches of height on him, plus 175. Sanchez is El Matador. Did you know that, Dan?
I did know that, yeah.
Okay, good. 20-6, 1 knockout, 8 submissions, 12-5 in Bellator. He has been around Bellator forever. He's lost the last 2. Before that, he won 3 straight, so he's gone 3-2 over his last 5. But important to note, he's lost 2 straight. And he's a favorite here. He used to fight at lightweight. He used to fight at welterweight. So this is down 2 weight classes from. 5 inches of reach, minus 225. What are you thinking in this one?
I think because of where I'm seeing the lines posted, I actually think a stab on Jeremy Kennedy here makes a lot of sense. I'm saying it's probably like a 50-50 type fight. But like if you look at the 2-fight losing streak of Emmanuel Sanchez – he lost to Patricio Pitbull, which obviously no shame in that, but it was on a takedown attempt that didn't work, and he got guillotine choked. Then he lost to Mads Brunell, which Mads Brunell, I think not enough people talk about how good Mads Brunell is, another guy who the UFC kind of short-shrifted and let go too early. But Brunell took him down and controlled him. Now, if you remember any of Jeremy Kennedy's, like any of that really good run he had in the UFC, in 3 fights in the UFC, up until he fought Volkanovski, he had gotten 21 takedowns in 3 fights, which is really an absolutely incredible amount. And granted, you know, not the greatest competition with, like, Alex Ricci or Hani Jason, but Kyle Bochniak is a guy who wrestles really well, and Jeremy Kennedy kind of took him down at will. And granted, it's been a while since then, but Jeremy Kennedy did that to Matt Bissett, who is a UFC guy. He did it to Steven Seedler, who's a UFC guy. Had a little bit of trouble doing it to Adiborix, who's, you know, again, one of the more underrated guys in Bellator. I think here he could probably do it to Emmanuel Sanchez, and it's enough of like a coin flip to me to be like, yes, take the guy who's almost getting you 2-1 money here. You know, gun to my head pick, I might have to think about this a little while, but when the odds are posted where they are here, I don't think you have to think about it at all. You just play Jeremy Kennedy.
Here we go. The proverbial gun has been pulled out for the first time in this episode. It's back again, baby. And since it's a Canadian he's picking, he's going to get screwed over because that's what us Canadians do. All right. Next fight you wanted to mention was the prelim main event. Welterweights, Oliver Enkamp versus Kyle Kruchmir. Enkamp, 10-2, two knockouts, six submissions. He's 3-0 in Bellator, all via finish. He's won three straight fights. Yeah, that's right. And they all would be via finish, I guess, in Bellator. 0-2 in the UFC, if you might remember him from that. His last four wins, actually, are all via finish. He's 4 inches taller than Kruchmir, 9 inches of reach on him. I may have to start tracking the, like, enormous reach stats next year. I just have, like, all any reach advantage, like 1 inch or 9 inches, I have all, like, lumped in the same category when I'm tracking stats. I may have to, like, make it.
The big boy reach difference?
Yeah, like 6 inches or more or something like that. Anyhow, Enkamp plus 112. Kyle Kruchmir is 7-1, one knockout, three submissions, never been finished in a fight, 3-1 in Bellator. He won his last fight, used to fight at middleweight. This one is down a weight class at welterweight. He is was a wrestling champ on the come up, 2 years younger than Enkamp, minus 140. Go ahead, yeah, Mr.
I like Kruchmir a lot. It's part of the reason why I listed this as one of the fights I wanted to talk about. Because getting him at negative 140 here, I think it's silly. Like, he is, like you said, he wrestled at Oklahoma State where he won all kinds of championships and whatnot. He's an incredible wrestler. The only time he's had a little bit of trouble in Bellator was he ran into Cameron Lachinoff, who is an extremely tough dude who was, hey, get this, I'm the Ultimate Fighter. It always comes back. So he's only lost to an Ultimate Fighter guy. Enkamp, meanwhile, if you remember his run in the UFC, because he was 0-2 in the UFC, he lost to Nordine Taleb. Nordine Taleb took him down, controlled him fairly easily. Basically, what I'm gaining off of watching Oliver Enkamp is he's got a really good jiu-jitsu game. He's got good movement to the back, great rear naked choke. He won by Japanese necktie his last time out, which is really impressive. But largely, the types of guys he loses to are the types of guys who can either stay off the ground with him or can take him down and just stay away from submissions and control and ground and pound a little bit. And, like, that's the style of Kruchmir, right? Like, if he decides he wants to keep this on the feet, he could. And if he decides to take him down, he really just has to take him down and stay safe. And I think Kruchmir, since he's done that for his whole 8-fight career, will probably do it again here. So I think the line we're getting there, at, you know, in the negative 140s, and even if that creeps up a little bit into the negative 160s even, I still think I like the money line there.
All righty, there we go. Moving on in the prelims also. I should let you know, prelims are on YouTube or Pluto TV. Main card is on Showtime. What is the start time for this event? Or if you're in Canada, it is on all of it's on YouTube because they don't have a TV deal here.
It says 7 p.m. for the prelims and 10 p.m. okay. for the main card.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Vreeland. All right. What are we going to do? Hamill. All right. Lightweights. Achilles Mota Mike Hamill. Is that not the best name? Achilles?
Yeah, I don't think it's his real name either, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, it's
Brazilians.
Achilles Mota.
Those Brazilians and their fake names. All right, Hamill, Mike Hamill. Let's tell you about him first. Did you know he's Magic Mike Hamill?
I did know that, mostly because he was like a regional fighter around Massachusetts area. So I did know that about him, yeah.
Around the Mountain Man's area, eh? I think that was a nickname. It was going to be something to do with you being a man for the mountains because you were trying to steal someone's nickname in a previous episode.
Oh, Man Mountain, Georgie Dano.
Yeah. So I was going to call you Man Mountain or Man from the Massachusetts Mountain or something like that. So anyhow, Magic Mike, 8-5, three knockouts, 1-2 in Bellator. He won his last fight. He's got only won two of his last five, however. He's got 2-3. He was the FFC champ, also the WFF champ. Those letters mean nothing to me, and they probably don't mean anything to you either, do you? FFC might be Fury? I'm not sure. Maybe not.
FFC.
No, it probably isn't.
Oh, it's according to this, it's Fierce FC.
Oh, of course. And WFF champ. 2 years younger than Mota, plus 115. Mota doesn't have a nickname because we think Achilles is his nickname. He's 12-2 with six knockouts, four submissions. He's been knocked out himself twice, so that's The only way he's lost is via knockout. Dying on his sword. 1-1 to Bellator. He lost via knockout his last fight. He's got 2 inches of height over Hamill, 3 inches of reach, minus 145. Who you like in here?
So I am going with Moda here. I think he is one of those guys who is kind of flown under the radar because he makes kind of dumb mistakes occasionally. But mostly gets knocked out. But like the other thing though is that Mike Hamill is not the type of guy who's going to do that to you. No. You know, he's won by lots of decisions. Like the last time he won was back in that aforementioned Fierce FC, where he fought a dude who was 1-1. So like he is not like a particularly good finisher. Mostly what I've seen out of him is like he tries to get by on like pure athleticism, which, you know, it doesn't bode well when you get to Bellator, and you've seen it not bode well for him lately. Whereas Moda is a guy who is kind of like very quick on the feet. He TKO'd a dude leg kicks one time. He choked out Hamill's teammate, Bobby Lee, with a guillotine choke, so he's got stuff going on there. He also trains with Glover Teixeira at Glover Teixeira MMA and Fitness, as well as an American Top Team. And they're putting together like a really impressive team of like kickboxers who then learn grappling from Glover Teixeira. So like he's got a bunch of guys working with him that I think we're going to see some pretty large gains, especially because we haven't seen him in a whole year since he got knocked out by Derek Anderson, who is, again, I keep saying one of the more underrated guys in Bellator. But this is just a long, drawn-out way of me saying I do like Kilis Mota in this fight. I like his abilities to fight in both areas. I think technically he's better than Hamill, even if Hamill is more athletically gifted.
Yeah, I failed to mention Mota's been out of action since November 5th, 2020. How did he lose? I don't know if I saw this fight. How did he lose via soccer kick in Bellator when you can't kick a guy on the ground? Do you remember that fight against Derek Anderson?
I do not know. It's mentioned a soccer kick on.
Yes.
But just his
Bird
head.
Dog, Dan, just your favorite. Bird dog.
Oh, yeah. On Tapology, it just says head kick. You know. Head kick. So I'm assuming
that makes more sense.
He was maybe outside of the maybe we can find it while you're previewing the next fight, and then I'll catch folks up afterwards.
The next fight is a featherweight fight. Kai Kamaka III, which you may remember from his UFC stint, which just ended, versus John DeJesus, or John DeJesus would be a better name to call him. His nickname is Platano, which is like a banana. So interesting nickname. He's 14-9, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted himself 4 times. He's 2-1 at Bellator. He's gone win, loss, win over his last 3, last one being a win. He was the HFC champ and the 24/7 champ and the PFC champ. All those are fantastic promotions, I'm sure. 2 inches taller than Kamaka, 7 inches of reach. So we got another massive reach advantage here. He is at plus 160, and the Fighting Hawaiian, as he's known as, Kai Kamaka III, 8-4-1 with 1 submission. He's another guy who I think of as a finisher, but he's got no finishes. He's 2-0 in Bellator, which was before his stint in the UFC where he went 1-2-1. And that was his last 4 fights. This will be his first fight since his UFC release. His last fight was a draw. He used to fight at bantamweight. This one is up at featherweight. 5 years younger than DeJesus, minus 200. Mr. Vreeland, over to you.
So first of all, I just rewatched that Derek Anderson knockout of Kilis Mota. It looks illegal. I don't know how it goes down to the Derek Anderson win, because it was a soccer kick, and he did have a knee and one of his hands on the ground. I would have to hear the announcers discuss why it eventually got allowed, but it shouldn't have been. That should have been a DQ win. But nevertheless, let's get into talking about John DeJesus and Kai Kamaka. I'm going to go with the underdog money here on John DeJesus.
Wow.
You mentioned both, like, well, first and foremost, I like the money line here, right? Like, DeJesus giving you that much of a turnaround. And I think, you know, we've talked about lines being juiced by hype and stuff like that. I think the line's just juiced here because Kai Kamaka is a household name. He's like a guy who had a whole bunch of exciting UFC fights, and now he's fighting a guy you've basically never heard of. But, like, his losses are to guys like T.J. Brown. And T.J. Brown has looked not good in the UFC, like really not good in the UFC. He lost to Jordan Griffin by a really weird choke. He lost to Danny Chavez and not look good in that fight. And, like, he lost to Jonathan Pierce, who has shown he's, like, not got good, you know, like, he's not well-rounded, I would say. Danny Chavez gassed out and gave Kai Kamaka a majority draw. Like, he, for all of the excitement that Kai Kamaka does bring, and he brings a lot of excitement, hasn't looked really good. And meanwhile, we got John DeJesus here, who's going to have a massive reach advantage. He just beat John Teixeira, who's pretty damn good. His only loss in his last five fights is Aaron Pico. And if you watch that fight, Pico took him down a bunch of times, and he got back up in a lot of those fights too. So, like, I think when you look at the fact that, like, DeJesus has, like, a really good list of dudes he's fought. Like, he fought Pat Sabatini and Bill Algeo, and, like, he fought Danny Chavez himself way back early in his career, and Billy Quarantillo and Aaron Phillips. All these are UFC guys. It's not like he is less experienced than Kai Kamaka. I think he's probably technically better on the feet. I think he's going to be faster than Kai Kamaka. You know, like, I think there's a lot of things to like here. And, you know, like, Kai Kamaka went in there and slugged with four different guys and didn't come close to a knockout once. I'm not saying he doesn't have punching power, but, like, John DeJesus has been knocking dudes out in his career. So, including in 24/7 FC, which you mentioned is, like, a high prestigious organization. It is actually a pretty good organization in the Pittsburgh area. Shout out to Hunter Homestick, who is now, I think, their matchmaker or lead promoter. Like, yeah, good dude, and he's running that organization. But regardless, yeah, I'm going to take the underdog money here, thinking that the Kai Kamaka line is juiced just because he's a UFC vet. Definitely, if you don't like John DeJesus in this fight, I wouldn't say go bet on Kai Kamaka, because I think that line is way too wide on his side. Just thinking that, like, you know, like, if you wanted to get money on him, you should have done it, you know, a long time ago when it posted or whatever, because I think the money's coming in from casual fans on a name they recognize.
There you go. Two dogs, right? Yeah, two dogs on the picks, and sizable dogs you're picking, plus 160, plus 135. So chance to get some money if you want to tail Dan. Usually it's a pretty good idea to tail Dan. You should probably – actually, you shouldn't tail his picks on the next one. Font versus Aldo, which is going through the fight card. It's a sneaky good fight card despite some last-minute changes and fights falling off. And we get to break down Alonzo Mayfield versus William Knight for the third time, Dan. Maybe this will actually maybe it'll actually happen this time, right?
I won't hold my breath, but I'll continue to say the same shit I always do.
Yep, it's true. But yeah,
some real tight lines on this card too.
Yeah, like, I haven't looked at the lines yet.
Yeah,
I'm trying not to look at them until I make my picks. So
I mean, like, the main event's really close. The co-main event was a pick 'em up until recently, and one guy's clearly getting a little bit bent on the other side. I'm seeing another fight at a pick'em. You know, Chris Grootsmacher, Claudio Puelles is basically a pick'em. Luis Smolka, Vince Morales is basically a pick'em. You know, yeah, there's a lot of, like, really closely listed fights.
Fun card on paper, too, at least. A lot of people I'm interested in seeing. So that will be our next episode, which will be Wednesday. Maybe LFA picks, if we get odds and you feel like it, Dan, maybe you can give them some LFA picks. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We could throw some in there last second if they come out. And if not, EFC Worldwide has got their lines posted, too.
Oh, good. We'll do that then, for sure.
We can talk about Kazumulu Zulu, who is on the Ultimate Fighter main eventing that.
You actually, not being sarcastic, you actually do like a person on EFC, so there you go.
Just one.
Just one. Okay. You actually gave them some praise earlier on, which I believe you said it was a good promotion. So
it used to be. I would say before – I don't want to blame the pandemic for it sliding, but, like, since the pandemic has happened, I think they're bringing in less, like, guys from, like, Southern Europe and, like, the northern part of Africa, which used to make the cards a little bit more exciting, and now it's just, like – it's almost, like, strictly a South African promotion, which I'm assuming has to do with travel and all that kind of stuff, and – that's certainly not getting better right now, especially because we heard that they isolated another variant in South Africa, which is not good. But, yeah, so I think that's costing them a little bit of talent. But, yeah, overall, not bad.
But this is not an EFC podcast, Dan, as much as people would like it to be. And this train's moving down the track, Dan. Actually, we're hitting a brick wall. This train, we've run out of track. We're done. We've given you lots of picks and lots of fun and lots of quotes from Napoleon Dynamite. What more could you ask for? Like I said earlier, follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland, subscribe to our MMA Gambling Podcast feed so you can get our podcast as soon as it drops, so you don't have to wait for it to come out in the crowded SGPN feed, because we're busy people at SGPN. You want to take us home, Dan? You take us home today.
Sure, yeah. This is usually the one where I mess up the date.
Yeah, that's why you're doing it.
I'm Dan Ducombe Vreeland. He is Juicy J, Jeff Fox, and we will catch you on Wednesday.